I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Hotel Mars, episode N. But before we go to Mars, we have to get back into low Earth orbit, to Earth orbit, onto the moon. We need a vehicle, because right now the United States does not have a man-rated vehicle to travel into space since the end of shuttle. David Livingston, the host of The Space Show, and Dr. Space himself joins me. David, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John.
We want to get back into space, and NASA, the United States, does not have a man-rated vehicle. We can hope for one in suborbit. We can hope for one even in low orbit if SpaceX moves. But right now, the next best chance, I understand, is Orion. Is that correct, David?
Yes, and Orion has beyond low Earth orbit capabilities far in excess of any other vehicle.
Everyone's asking themselves, what are they talking about? What's Orion? That's a cool name. Isn't it that something attached to the heavens? Indeed it is. We welcome Larry Price. Lawrence Price is the Deputy Orion Program Manager at Fort Lockheed. He is based in Texas, in Houston, Texas. Larry, a very good evening to you. I ask you the fundamental question. What is the Orion Multipurpose Crew Vehicle, and what is its mission? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think David summarized it really well. We're building the next human spacecraft and designed to go to the planets. It's an interplanetary human spacecraft.
For man-rated, for a crew. David?
Larry, jumping ahead pretty quickly, I'm hearing that Inspiration Mars, maybe even Mars One, would like to use Orion. Have you been contacted by any of these groups? Is there any possibility of that?
We have, and NASA, Johnson Space Center, and Marshall with the SLS that we'll get to have been, and Dennis Tito has a very inspirational idea to try to do a very rapid flyby of Mars, and there are opportunities every 18 years to be able to do it in a substantially shorter amount of time. So NASA is working with him in collaboration because the vehicle is designed for deep space long duration and, most importantly, safely returning humans to Earth. There are some challenges having to do with the velocities that orbital trajectory would provide, but we're working with Dennis to see if there's a way we can take advantage of what NASA has invested in already.
George Bush's administration started the journey for Orion, but I want to build it in front of everybody, Larry. How big is it? I've often had this described to me as Apollo on steroids. How big is the crew possibility for Orion?
Well, so it's been said that, and we did studies that had to do with lifting bodies and various configurations and all, and settled on during the Mike Griffin administration at NASA on a capsule very similar to the Apollo capsule, and that's why people have said Apollo on steroids or your grandfather's Apollo. But it's vastly different than that. You can imagine and know that at the beginning of the space program, when we had never been in space, the Apollo program was designed based on Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo as we learned more and more about operating in space. But at that time, NASA was driving the technological field with computing capability and such. You know, it scares people that the computer that landed on the moon had either 65 or 125 kilobits of memory. You know, the argument about your cell phone having more, you can't even make that argument anymore because it's so many orders of magnitude more. So now the vehicle is a crew of four instead of three. It's about 30% bigger. And the advantage of four is that the vehicle's mission can carry, the crews can be operating two crews of two in a buddy system, so you can operate around the clock since you're not constrained to the sun rising and setting. And the vehicle is designed to be autonomous, so when we do missions that go to the moon or other moons of Mars or asteroids or so, that you could leave the entire vehicle in an autonomous orbit around the planet and the entire crew could go down to the surface. So the multipurpose piece of it is that it can do all of these missions that the scientists have been dreaming up and following the tremendous precursors of the Mars missions and the interplanetary craft that have gone out on journeys around the solar system. So it's really a marvelous goal, as you said, begun by George Bush, 42? And then followed up later by his son, and then followed up again now with the Obama administration through some various changes and redirections, but always focusing on our ability to go further.
David?
Larry, do we need SLS as the launch vehicle, or if that eventually gets derailed, can we do Orion on an Atlas or a Delta or maybe even a later generation Falcon?
So So in the interim, as we're developing the vehicle to do the different missions, there are other launch systems that we can use. And, for example, we're flying a commercially available Delta IV to fly the flight test I'll probably talk about in a second. And that gets us up into not only low Earth orbit, but even higher. We're going to be at 4,000 nautical miles almost, which is like 10 times higher than the space station or where we've gone in the past. But to get into the asteroids and other planets, we need a bigger launch vehicle. The physics of it are that when you're in low Earth orbit, you've got roughly half of the energy it takes to get anywhere in the universe. But you see how big a rocket it took you to get just outside of the gravitational field of the Earth. About, you know, 95% of the mass of the vehicle on liftoff was getting you to low Earth orbit. So now you need the capability with what we call in-space transportation, Earth departure stages, to be able to get off to these other distant places. The universe is big. It's a long way. So, yes, we do need a big machine like an SLS.
Larry, in the Apollo program, there were steps, and they didn't all involve crew. There were launches without crew, I believe. Are you planning the same careful progress, an unmanned launch? I know you're doing drop tests and firing tests on the ground now, but an unmanned launch and then a circumlunar launch and then attach a lander to it and descend to the moon in the same fashion, speed it up in some way.
Very similar. Learning from the 50 years of that experience, learning from aviation experience, learning the lessons of what needs to be done. You've summarized it well. There are a number of ground tests. There have been parachute recovery tests that have been going on for a number of years, the drop tests at Langley into the water to understand the loads on a vehicle into various water sea conditions. But, and then the actual flight test, you may recall that we did a test of the abort system, simulating an abort from a launch pad, if there was a disaster on the pad, to be able to escape that situation. We've done that, did that unmanned. The flight that we'll fly next fall is will go into, I mentioned, 4,000 miles. It's unmanned, and it's designed to stress the challenging aspects of the design of the vehicle, so primarily heat shield performance. At that altitude, we'll be able to demonstrate roughly 84% of the energy coming back from a lunar-type orbit, so very close to what that environment would be. And it also gets the electrical system, all of the guidance, navigation, and software, operating outside of the Van Allen belts. They protect the Earth from a lot of the solar radiation. So we'll actually be operating the vehicle out in the radiation equivalent to deep space.
David,
so we'll be maturing all of those systems in this flight.
Go ahead, David.
Larry, after seeing years and years and years of the shuttle come in and make these really, really cool landings, we're now seeing us going back to water landings, and many who may not understand the physics say, why are we coming back with parachutes and waters instead of landing gear and runways?
Very excellent question. So we started out on land. We felt that we could, it would be lower cost to refurbish the vehicle from land. It would be easier to recover the crew. But we found out that by flying with retro rockets first, they were very complex, and so the reliability issues. We had airbags, like some of the vehicles that have landed on Mars, did a lot of drop testing with airbags. But they're very complex systems. They come off the vehicle where we have to separate the heat shield successfully, get the airbags deployed. It turned out the best we could do is about 1,400 pounds for the weight of a landing system. And so if you're going to go to Mars, you've got to carry that 1,500 pounds to Mars and back, and all you use it for is the last couple of seconds. So we went to water because it was the lightest weight system, and therefore we could carry more science for the same amount of capability that the launch vehicle could put us.
Larry,
so
I want to be
a very deliberate design.
I want to be very positive about this because, Orion, you're very carefully putting together a system that can satisfy multiple missions, the moon, Mars, an asteroid. What's the timeline? Once you build it, how long do you expect it to be in service? 10 years? 5 years? Is that known yet?
Well, so the target is like 30 or 40 years. We're designing the system so that they can be adaptable to the missions that the scientists, as we mentioned before, come up with. But the basic vehicle, the environmental control, the propulsion systems and such are designed to be viable for at least 30 years. The vehicle itself is designed to be reflown, so the amount that we bring back with the capsule reuse the expensive electronics and such. and be able to fly it. There's a sweet spot around 10 flights where if you fly more than that, it's not economical for the initial design that you put into it. And if you fly less than that, it's easier to just build more of them. So a lot of trades to figure out the most economical way to fly the vehicle. Which brings me to another point, that a lot of this is affordability, how we can design the vehicle to not only meet the multi-purpose missions you mentioned, but do it in an affordable manner.
David?
Real quick, you're confident that the cracks in the bulkhead have been structurally repaired and are sound?
Oh, extremely. As a matter of fact, in the last month, we've completed the what we call the structural test, where we expose the vehicle to the 8 driving conditions, landing, launch, etc., and have and pressure loads, and we have verified the repair that was done on the vehicle because of the cracks that you had mentioned. And the cracks are the sorts of things that we do normally in the development of any system. It's designed to be optimized for mass. So there are places in a very complex structure, as you can imagine, a capsule like this is designed to carry loads from pressure and launch loads and landing loads, very complex, that in very small areas that the load would not have been predicted exactly correctly. So the test is what proves all of that out. And when we got small cracks that did not go through the pressure vessel, we readdressed the design, validated the models, and determined where it was a little weak and repaired it, and it's been a straightforward corrective action.
Soyuz has become a craft that welcomes many, many programs from around the world to travel to ISS. Is Orion base built to be in much the same way, an international crewed vehicle?
Absolutely, and you probably heard recently that NASA's work with the European Space Agency has collaborated with them to produce a significant portion of the vehicle, the what we call the service module, the power and propulsion section of the aft end of the vehicle. So we have started the international collaboration with the wonderful engineers and scientists that are in the rest of the world that we'll need to do to be able to explore the universe. We can be leaders, but we need to have the help of the rest of the world with us. And the future will be like Space Station. They'll have international astronauts that are participating in the missions.
Larry Price, Lawrence Price, is Deputy Orion Program Manager in Houston, Texas, for Lockheed Martin. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. The Orion, that's the next step for the next frontier, a multiple-purpose crewed vehicle up to 4. The people who will fly Orion are with us right now. Perhaps they're in high school listening. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.